Welcome to Soundbites, a series about the food we eat. We're going to spend the next year examining the entire system of how food gets from the farm to your table, including the history, politics, health, and environmental concerns, and the economics of wholesome food. You're already familiar with some of the issues. Our neighborhoods have become food deserts, with not a supermarket to be seen around us for miles. Our children are unhealthy with type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure showing up at younger and younger ages. Many of us die too young from preventable diseases. We believe it doesn't have to be this way. Over the coming year, we're going to share stories about our food. We'll explore how farms, both urban and rural, can feed and employ our people, how we can get fresh produce to our citizens, how we can take care of the environment, and how we can create a 21st century food system that is more just and healthier for each of us and our world. We believe it can be done. Please join us as we explore how we get there together. Today on the show, join us for coverage of the war on drugs. Drugs for chickens, that is. Specifically, we'll be talking about a bill making its way through the Maryland General Assembly that would ban the use of drugs containing arsenic for chicken feed. Arsenic is sometimes used to promote weight gain and reduce disease in poultry flocks, and because it causes the flesh of a chicken to appear more pink, which is seen as more appealing for customers. Last year, concerns about negative environmental and health effects from the drug led the Pfizer company to voluntarily pull the most widely used arsenical, roxazone, from the market pending further tests. Tyson and Perdue also voluntarily stopped using arsenical drugs in their feed, but believe that any outright ban should come from the FDA and not the state legislature. Arsenic-based chicken additives have been banned in Europe for over a decade. If the legislation passes here, Maryland would become the first state to ban the drug. A similar bill failed to get out of the House Environmental Matters Committee during the last legislative session. But this year, it's back and has spurred a furious debate among farmers, environmentalists, health advocates, and legislators. Today, we'll hear many different perspectives on that bill. We'll start off with Delegate Tom Hucker, who introduced the bill, and Senator Joan Carter Conway, whose committee is discussing the bill, as they look at the progress of the bill in the legislature now. Then we'll hear Purdue Company's take on the potential ban, taped at their headquarters last December. And finally, Jorge Aguilar, Southern Region Director of Food and Water Watch, and Delegate Charles Otto, who offer opposing views on the bill. Up first, here's Delegate Tom Hucker, House sponsor of the bill, and Senator Joan Carter Conway, Chair of the Senate Education, Health, and Environmental Affairs Committee. I asked Delegate Hucker to talk about the state of his bill.
Well, the bill is it's introduced in the House as House Bill 167, if people want to read it, and it's cross-filed in the Senate by Senator Pinsky, who's on the committee that Senator Conway very ably chairs, the Education, Health, and Environmental Affairs Committee. And the bill attempts to address a growing body of evidence that we should be concerned with arsenic that is added to chicken feed. For many, many years, the giant chicken integrators that hire small farmers to farm chickens in Maryland and other states either require those chicken farmers to add an arsenic-based drug to the chicken feed, or they require the feed that they supply to has the arsenic-based drug added to it. As you mentioned, the name of the drug is marketed under the name Roxazone. It's been made by Alpharma, which has been recently bought by chemical giant Pfizer. The reason, I'm sure your listeners are asking, why would you add anything that contains arsenic to what will become a food product? And the reason they give is they say it reduces the amount of certain disease in adolescent chickens. Other people, they also say that it helps with weight gain and makes chicken plumper and brings them to market more quickly. There's other folks who feel like it also makes the chicken appear pinker and more attractive in the stores on the shelves, but the industry generally denies that. So this has been a requirement of chicken production for many, many years. We have introduced bills for a couple years to ban it because most of the drug passes through the chicken into chicken waste and breaks down into deadly carcinogenic elemental arsenic in the chicken litter. Chicken litter is routinely spread all over fields on the eastern shore and elsewhere as fertilizer, and when it reaches a certain temperature, it breaks down into arsenic. The arsenic itself can dissolve in the arsenic-laced litter, can dissolve in water and wash off into the bay and its tributaries if it's raining, and if it's not raining, it tends to build up in the soil at very dangerous levels. So this is a very, as the EPA said, very preventable exposure to a carcinogen, and we should, you know, I believe, be doing the right thing for the Maryland environment and banning it.
Now, Senator Conway, let me take a step backwards. To produce a huge company in the state of Maryland, very politically powerful and all the rest, and they have banned this in their chickens.
Yes, they have.
So I wonder why you think it's been so difficult to get this bill, like, maybe I'm wrong about this, but on the floor and out of committees and to be debated. What do you think the issues are that are holding it up?
Well, the issue that was holding it last year was the argument about the just natural, or like the apples and the fruits and the various things that already have arsenic in it. The committee is very concerned about the drug that was being utilized in the chicken, which is Roxasone. And I heard that the bill was coming back, and rightfully so, based on our consumer and our constituents' concerns. But right now, Roxasone is not being manufactured or being utilized in the state of Maryland. So although the bill is there, we're just going to wait and hear all of the information as it relates to Roxasone. It appears to me that the federal government, based on the information that I have, and I will listen quite attentively to all of the information and the documentation that's being presented. But as I talked to legal counsel, she told me she thought that the bill was coming back, but there is no Roxasone being manufactured. It has been outlawed based on a study that the federal government is doing, and the agreement was last year, and I guess it's as a result of the bill coming to committee last year, that they came up with some type of agreement that they were going to do a study and an assessment of the effects of Roxasone, but it's not being manufactured.
So now, Tom Huckery, if the drug's not being manufactured, Roxasone anymore, it's not in the state of Maryland, why is there a need for this bill?
Well,
from your perspective.
That's a fair question, Mark, but it's, I mean, I think the answer is this is, presents us with a great opportunity. The there's been, you know, very successful lobbying campaign against this bill for the last couple years. What the senator's correctly referring to is a study that came out of the FDA this summer in June, right after the session, where the FDA took samples of chicken livers, and they found arsenic itself, not just Roxasone on the drug, but arsenic in chicken livers at higher levels, higher concentrations than chickens that had not been fed the drug. And this is, completely undercuts what the industry has said publicly, nationally, and has testified to our committees for a couple years. They said, on camera and in their testimony that Roxasone does not turn into arsenic and that arsenic does not end up in the birds. And the FDA now says that's false. So the same day that the FDA announced the results of that study, Pfizer voluntarily suspended the production of Roxasone. So there's a myth going around that it's been outlawed. It has not been outlawed. It was a voluntary decision made in a corporate boardroom. And while that's, I welcome that news, and it's great that Pfizer is not making it right now, there's a couple reasons that we should be concerned. One is that there are other arsenical drugs that are still licensed for manufacture right now. And there are some people that think they're being sold. There are other people that think they will be sold at any time because there's a gap in the market right now. And number two, it's not Pfizer's job to protect the Maryland environment. It's our job.
When I interviewed Purdue, they were actually very clear that stopping using arsenic has not affected their chickens in a negative sense, in the ways they thought. So I wonder then if what Delegate Hucker is saying, Senator, does that change the equation at all? That to be proactive, to create a measure that would not allow this to come into Maryland. I think if I read the Hughes report correctly, they found inorganic arsenic and levels of inorganic arsenic, not the kind that naturally comes out of our bodies, in livers, and it's in the feed. And even when I questioned Purdue about when they sell their chicken litter, they can't guarantee there's no arsenic in that chicken litter when they sell it to organic farmers for fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, is that enough of an argument to say Maryland should take a proactive or a reactive response to this?
Well, I think we should take a proactive response to it, but the issue is not arsenic overall because there's more than one drug. The bill says arsenic in chicken feed, but the specific chemical that they're talking about is Roxasol.
So
if the bill is expanded, once we hear all the facts relevant to the bill, currently the bill talks about Roxasol.
So it's only Roxasone, Tom? It's not all arsenical drugs?
The bill says Roxazone and other arsenicals.
Well, it needs to be clear. I mean, is it Roxazone alone, or is it Roxazone?
It names Roxazone and other arsenical drugs.
And what are those arsenical drugs?
It covers that whole class. The ones that I know about that are approved for the market include arsenic acid, nitrazone, and carbazone. I think are the brand names, and obviously those can change. But the goal of the bill, and it may be amended in committee, but the goal of the bill is to get drugs that contain arsenic out of the chicken feed because they all end up in the Maryland environment later on. This is going to be a very, I think, expensive long-term cleanup operation that, you know, people years from now will ask us why we allowed it to happen for so long. Just like people ask that about lead and lead paint, just like people ask that about asbestos, we have a huge stack of evidence now. And, you know, the public, more and more, I believe, is asking why we're still allowing this when there's no business case to be made that we need this to grow healthy chickens in Maryland. And we know now much more since the Hughes Center study has come out about the damage to the Maryland environment. This isn't a small matter, Mark. We're talking about this is 30,000 pounds of arsenic that's going into the Maryland environment every single year, year after year after year. That's a very expensive and very costly problem when there's no safe level of arsenic for human health. And, there are now, according to the Hughes Center report, lots of fields all over the Eastern Shore that have absorbed so much arsenic they can't be repaired. They're essentially just toxic brown fields, and these are areas where we're still allowing agriculture to grow, and they're beyond remediation, according to the Hughes Center study at the University of Maryland.
And I wonder what the arguments are, Senator Conaway, that you've heard that saying this bill is either overreaching, that it doesn't deal with the real issue, that it's not...
Well, actually, you know, it affects the farmers and what they perceive as being unbusiness friendly, but I'm very concerned about the environment and have always been concerned about the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But you need facts about certain things, the same thing as the Roxasone. You know, earlier, based on what legal counsel has said, based on the many hours that we have sat in chamber listening to the hearing, you know, of course, one bring a certain set of facts and the proponents will bring a certain set of facts. The opponents bring something very different. So you have to weigh through what is actually the facts in the matter. Now, I talked to legal counsel earlier. The whole issue revolving around the bill last year, and it was told to me because I have a number of bills to kind of look at, and I have not paid that much attention to that particular bill. I
mm-hmm.
heard that the bill was back, but I was informed that it was mostly surrounding Roxasone. So if the bill deals with something else, we will be definitely happy to take a look at it. The other issue is that you need the votes to get any bill out of committee.
All the organized money, all the special interest money has been on the other side, and they have hired very top drawer, very successful lobbyists to walk the halls down here and keep this stuff on the market and keep, you know, feeding this to chickens in Maryland. Meanwhile, you know, they like to portray this to my colleagues as this is some sort of, you know, radical environmental bill. Far from it. I wrote to Purina. Purina is the biggest producer of agricultural feed in the country. Purina won't add any of this stuff to their feed, and they, you know, put in writing that they don't believe it has anything to do with growing healthy chickens. I wrote to McDonald's, who's the biggest consumer of chickens in the country, and they say they won't buy any chickens that have been fed this stuff because they're so concerned about it. So Purina and McDonald's, you know, think this has no use for this chemical, and yet we're continuing to use it in Maryland and feed it to all the chickens that are made in Maryland and served to our kids. And we're going to be stuck with the environmental cleanup costs.
And Delegate Hucker, you're talking about, at this juncture, you're talking about a chemical other than Roxazone, right?
No, I'm talking about Roxazone.
Well, Roxazone is no longer made here.
Right. Well, this is last year. It's been made for many years, as you know.
Oh, no doubt. I'm not questioning that.
Right.
You are absolutely right. I think as a result of the bill and as all the confusion and all the testimony from the experts on both sides, the proponents and the opponents, was really the reason and rationale that I and Chairman McIntosh made a conscientious decision that we need to find out what's going on. Now, I will take a serious look at your bill. Like I said earlier, legal counsel was under the impression that the bill was still specifically dwelling on Roxazone. And as we know, Roxazone is not being manufactured or used. Now, if there are some other carcinogenics that we need to take a good look at the time that we have the hearing, we will definitely be focusing on those
right.
chemicals and those issues.
You've been listening to Delegate Tom Hucker and Senator Joan Carter Conway. As part of our coverage, we reached out to four of the main lobbyists working against the bill, but none were willing to discuss the legislation on the air. We also contacted Mount Air, Tyson, and Allen Companies for their take. Only Tyson responded to provide us with the following statement. Quote, "We're not currently using arsenicals in our chicken feed, but believe decisions regarding such products are best left to the FDA." End quote. Up next, you'll hear excerpts from our taping at Purdue headquarters from last December with Dr. Bruce Stewart Brown, Senior Vice President of Food Safety and Quality, and Julie DeYoung, a Purdue spokesperson. I asked Bruce to explain why Purdue no longer uses Roxazone and whether they found a difference in their birds after they stopped administering arsenicals to their flocks.
We had to learn some different things. We several things about that particular product. There was a building amount of research on different sides of the use of it, as it relates to all the different issues from that. And we were keeping up with that. And we got a lot of people spent a lot of time, thinking about the right thing to do as it relates to all the feed ingredients that we use. And we were getting quite a few questions from our consumers, asking questions about it. And as we kind of interacted with them, it became a really hard thing to explain to them why you would use that in feed, and with some of the kind of different pieces of information that were coming out, it became very cloudy for them. We also were working on a lot of different things as it relates to raising poultry and feeding poultry that we wanted feed. We wanted to be proud of our feed. We wanted to be able to talk about our feed to people and have them trust that we're doing the right thing with it. So all those things, we were working on how management procedures with the growers to maintain good gut integrity and intestinal health and all the aspects of the fact that that product in our case was not necessary for us to do what we needed to do, so we felt good about pulling it out.
So if what was the difference? I mean, what difference did you find when you stopped using it? I mean, in terms of whether it's the meat that came out of the chicken or the chicken itself growing and. Yeah, what was the difference essentially when you stopped using it?
Yeah, we had worked very hard to make sure that there was going to be no downside to pulling it out, and actually when you looked at it, it became kind of cost neutral from all the aspects of measuring it. Now, the meat itself, if you look at all the data on meat, if you use the drug properly, you won't find elevated levels in the meat. So anyhow, I don't think there was any appreciable issue with that. We just felt like we could manage the birds without it just as well or better.
So if one of the things I read that I was looking at since I was here last was some FDA reports and other things that I've been looking at, and they approved this histostat, and I'm looking at my chart because I want to make sure I have the names right, nitrosone, which contain arsenic, and it's on the market. So does Purdue use those in your feed?
Those are not in our chickens at all. No,
they're not in the chickens.
No.
And so I guess it kind of begs the question why Purdue isn't part of leading the charge to ban arsenic in the state. I mean, if you decided not to use it, why not say it shouldn't be here? I mean, because we know that arsenic is a carcinogen, so why not say no?
So here's the deal. Here's our perspective. We believe that FDA is the appropriate group to judge safety and appropriateness of drugs. We don't believe as a company, I don't believe as a professional, that a state should decide on a drug unless they have the infrastructure to do all the appropriate work associated with the drug. So here, if you question the safety of a particular drug, I would think the best opportunity is to go to FDA and say, look, could you show me, I'd like to see the safety profile of this drug, and if I choose to kind of criticize the safety profile and the safety work that was done, in what way do you criticize it, and let's get that fixed. So we're trusting as a country and believe that the best way to work with medications and different feed ingredients is to have FDA be in charge of their efficacy and their safety and all the aspects of them. If you question it, let's get that in front of FDA and have them redo the safety profile if that's what needs to be done. But each state taking... deciding to question the safety, well, they must add a whole bunch of infrastructure associated with all the science associated with that. I doubt that they want to do that.
I mean, from a practical perspective, even if we just look here, we're operating in three states, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, and farmers that are growing chickens in one state may be processed in another state, and think of the management of having to have a different requirement in each of those states. How could you run a business?
You're going to have drug approvals by state. Wow, I don't think that's the. I don't think that that doesn't make sense to me.
So, when people look at, and I understand what you're saying. But when people look at this drug and they know that some of these things are carcinogenic, all the studies seem to show that it is carcinogenic.
So, Mark, then I guess you would have to pull up FDA's safety profile. This is really where the criticism, I think, falls apart, because mm-hmm. you'd say, if... You see these studies, you say, how about FDA, could you show me the safety profile you have on this? And let me make a very specific comment about this aspect of its safety. And then we'll have a good conversation. That would be useful, I would think,
And I guess the dose makes the poison. You say it's carcinogenic, and Bruce is going to be well more versed to talk about inorganic versus organic and all of that. But, I think to say that something is carcinogenic is so broad as to really not even be meaningful. I mean, you have to talk about its use and application, and I think anything is carcinogenic in extreme measure. So, and to Bruce's point, FDA is best able to, I think, evaluate that.
The The most productive discussion would be one with the safety documentation in front of you, and if it's a level of this that is of concern, and that's the debatable part, that would be a productive conversation to have with FDA and the appropriate scientists. You know,
I mean, the reason I raise these issues, I'm just what I was looking at was EPA considering this, and like I was kidding, considering Roxazone a Class A carcinogen. I mean, they classify it as that. So that's why, and there was a report that came out in January that it won't be official for a while, updating the science, kind of talking about that, and that it was 17 times more potent as a carcinogen than they thought before. Now, it's got to go through a bunch of reviews more before that comes out as an official report, but that's what they're saying. And now they're working on these kind of risk assessments of non-cancer effects of things like arsenic and ammonia and like that. Some of those are the
so hopefully they would get all that in front of FDA and say, look, we have additional information that we didn't have before. If that's true, I don't know if it's true, whatever. But the appropriate place to get that kind of I think everybody wants the rule to be right on all the different, you know, on all the different additives and everything that FDA approves. FDA wants to have it right. I'm confident of that. So if there's information that needs to be presented to them and for them to review the safety component to it, I believe that sounds productive to me, you know.
So one of the things that we talked about last time was litter. Agro-recycle, right? You take the litter that comes from not just your farms, or not that your farms, but not just from the farmers who grow few, but from Montclair or from Tyson or whoever else. So if you take their litter, then those other companies don't do what you do. They do use arsenic in different parts of their operations. So do you test those pellets for the arsenic that may be coming from their farms?
That'd be a question for the guys at AgriCycle.
And so we were talking about pellets, and so the one thing that popped as I reread the interview was what percentage of the litter itself coming off, I guess, of your farms, do you actually pelletize?
It's about, I'm going to get this right. We handle about 10% of the litter from the farms that raise birds for Purdue. Yeah.
And the rest 10%. Of it then stays on the farm?
The rest the producer either uses in their own farming operation or maybe barters or sells to other farmers who apply it on cropland. So Purdue either recycles it into organic fertilizer or relocates it to farms that can use it, or some goes to Pennsylvania to the mushroom industry. So they both produce fertilizer and, in essence, relocate it to areas that can use the nutrients.
And they're sold, just pellets are just sold here, or all over the country or all over the world? I mean, where are the pellets sold?
Half of what Purdue AgriCycle produces is sold outside of the watershed. So those nutrients are literally leaving the watershed, and they go to a variety of sources. We have a distributor that sells to golf courses and parks and municipalities that are looking for organic natural fertilizer sources. It goes to organic farmers. It is certified organic, so organic tomato producers in Florida, for instance, use it. It also goes to some commercial fertilizer companies who blend it into organic fertilizer products that you might buy at a Home Depot or Lowe's.
Wow. And so, now, you may disagree with this report. there was a report that came out from the Center for Liberal Future, from Keev Nachman, that said that pellets have as much as 30 parts per million of arsenic. Now, so the question for somebody who hears that would be, how could that be organic?
You probably outside of our area of expertise.
That would be a Steve question.
Well, Steve or Purdue Agri Recycle, I'm sure I'd have to think. But I guess the only other kind, arsenic is a naturally occurring element. So certain soil types have, it varies across the country. There are allowable levels in water. So I have no idea how this 30 parts per million compares to anything.
You're listening to Soundbites on Delmarva, and that was Dr. Bruce Stewart Brown, Senior Vice President of Food Safety and Quality, and Julie DeYoung, a Purdue spokesperson. Don't go away, because we'll be right back after this very short break. Welcome back to Soundbites on Delmarva. I'm your host, Mark Steiner. Jorge Aguilera is Southern Region Director for Food and Water Watch and joins us now for this conversation on arsenic and the state of Maryland and legislation that is confronting the state of Maryland. Jorge, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
So, Jorge, this is a legislation this is not its first time around in Annapolis.
No, it isn't, Mark. It's actually the third year that folks are hearing about the fact that we have arsenic in chicken and that it is routinely used in chicken production.
But one of the things that people who oppose this bill or question the bill say is, look, organic is a natural substance. It's in all of us. It's part of who we are. And there is no – well, let's just start with that.
Yeah, and there are foods that are organic. But really the main point here is that we are intentionally adding inorganic, toxic arsenic to the chickens that we eat. Basically, there was a study that came out in December 2011, commissioned actually by the Maryland legislature, that took a look at what kind of arsenic was being produced and excreted by the chickens grown in the Eastern Shore. And it found that indeed it was the inorganic, toxic form of arsenic that is getting into our soils, that's getting into our water, and potentially even into the food that consumers eat. Just in the last year, we have seen just how dangerous arsenic in chicken production can be. Right, as I mentioned before, in the December 2011 study by the Hugh Center, commissioned by the General Assembly of Maryland, it found that organic arsenic does turn into the toxic inorganic substance of arsenic in chickens, that it's being added to our soils, it's being added to the waterways, and that potentially can feed into the Chesapeake. At the same time, we know from a study in June of 2011 that there is a higher level of arsenic in the chicken we eat if they are fed this particular arsenical drug in chicken production than if it is not fed. And so it's bottom line is that the American Cancer Society and public health officials always stress how important it is to reduce any potential exposure to arsenic because it's a well-known carcinogen that's associated with cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and even neurological disorders in children.
There's some would argue that I've heard say that, well, look, those studies aren't conclusive. The Hugh study can only talk about what they think is happening in the soil, maybe happening in the waterways, but that it's kind of really inconclusive whether or not arsenic is getting into people's bodies who eat the chicken or just how much remains in the soil.
I think the studies have been pretty conclusive, and as I said before, we should eliminate any exposure to arsenic. But the truth of the matter is that the reason the bill has not moved forward is that the opponents from the chicken industry and from the pharmaceutical industry are working very hard in the state legislature to really confuse legislators. And so that's one of the things they say, right, that it's inconclusive. And they put forth several arguments. And sadly, right, this is where we're still in a place where it's still sort of a question whether we should have arsenic in chicken or not. We think it's pretty straightforward. It's common sense. We should not have arsenic in chicken production.
So I mean, talk a bit about Jorge. What reports are saying that it is conclusive that this of the danger? That's what I like to hear about.
The Hughes Center report that came out in 2011 said organic arsenic in poultry water rapidly decomposes to toxic inorganic form. It said many of this in the dough marva, many parts of the dough marva have amassed inorganic arsenic to levels above Maryland soil arsenic remediation standards. It said that arsenic can be transported from fields into receiving waters. It talked about how studies are clear in saying that adding arsenic in chicken production is not sustainable and lean towards a more restrictive approach to managing arsenic in the environment. So this is all in the report. It's pretty clear.
And the kind of dangers for the consumer is something that people argue talk about as well.
One of the things that, most folks that hear about this think, well, if there's arsenic in chicken, well, should I not be eating chicken? And that isn't ever the point we're making, right? What happens with arsenic is that it accumulates in your body and in your system and can lead to diseases I mentioned previously, like cancer, like cardiovascular disease, like diabetes. So the point is that it's over a lifetime of consuming having exposure to arsenic over a lifetime of eating chicken, that could be potentially dangerous.
The Roxazone, which is the arsenical that was being used, has been taken off the market. So again, people argue there's no need for legislation because voluntarily Pfizer has said, okay, we're not going to produce this right now, and that most chicken producers in Maryland say we're not using it.
It was pulled, but it was a voluntary pull, and the drug maker, Pfizer, is under no legal obligation to keep that suspended. So they can come back really and use it at any point. At the same time, we also know that there are other arsenical drugs on the market. Arsenic acid, carbazone, nitrosone, or a few of the others. And again, consumers should not be left to wonder whether the chicken they're eating does or doesn't have arsenic. We should definitely just take a step forward already and ban it altogether, not leave it up to a particular drug maker or a particular chicken company to use it.
So when you look at this bill, what do you think will happen in the coming legislature? I mean, it was killed last year in committee. It didn't come out. They put it towards a commission to do a study. We've heard leaders of the committee saying we want to see what the science is. So is that still a battle point then?
So definitely we're doing our best to try to talk to legislators who really they have about 90 days to take care of a lot of different issues. And so we are trying to educate them about just how clear these two studies that have been released in the last year are in regards to how dangerous arsenic in chicken production is to the environment and to public health. We've gotten support from both the environmental chairs, Delegate Maggie McIntosh and Senator Carter Conway have both said that they supported this bill. So we think we have done a good job of educating people just about this issue in general and feel pretty hopeful about it this year.
People argue how this would hurt the chicken industry if this went through because of the way it fights against the disease. It allows chickens to grow better and plumper for the marketplace. That this would be detrimental to the chicken industry and its future on the Eastern Shore especially.
I think that the industry is being really hyperbolic in saying this. Industry, right, is claiming that it will hurt their bottom line. But we know that enough about it to know, for instance, that several companies have not been using and continue to be profitable, including Purdue, which is the largest chicken company in Maryland. Purdue does not use it and has not used it since 2007. Similarly, we actually just looked at Tyson's latest 2011 annual report to mm-hmm. the SEC to look at, you know, whether there had been any change or any mention of Roxazone in terms of financial challenges. What we found is that it doesn't even mention Roxazone as a challenge. Really, all the chicken companies, what they're ultimately looking at as their highest cost are feed costs, right? It's the price of corn, the price of other feed costs, as well as gasoline. And that's what Tyson mentions. So, again, we know that these companies can continue to be profitable while not using this arsenical drug because there are indeed other alternatives.
So is it? Did I read these reports right? There over 300,000 pounds of arsenic go into our soil every year. Is that what I read, or is it tons?
So I think it's actually about 30,000 pounds of arsenic. That's actually a chicken litter laced with arsenic that goes into Maryland fields.
And what does that do? How long does it stay around? What does it do when it goes into the fields? What happens?
So the Hughes Center is pretty clear in this, right? And the Hughes Center is the report that came out in 2011, and it talks about how, right, this fertilizer of chicken litter that contains arsenic is being added to the fields. And in fact, it says that when added to fields, they have found that it can remain in the field, in the soil, for up to 4 months. So whenever any storm comes through, a thunderstorm can actually wash away much of this chicken litter laced with arsenic into the waterways. And this is where it's also, right, the environmental risk of exposing our waterways to arsenic.
Why do you think that, as many people have argued from the other side who don't want to see this ban go through, that it's responsible for the FDA to do this, why do you think the FDA has not dealt with this?
Well, from our research is that we know that our regulatory system is broken. The FDA, while, you know, having oversight over this, has not really done a toxicity study of arsenic in a few decades. In fact, a report that we released last year showed that the FDA only checked one out of every 12 million chickens for arsenic, and with further budget cuts that have gone on in the last year, we know they're moving towards doing even less. The FDA is really not in a position to take on any of these issues, and it's really where I say that the state of Maryland has a real opportunity to be a real leader on this.
That was Jorge Aguilar, Southern Region Director for Food and Water Watch. You're listening to Soundbites on Delmarva, and I'm your host, Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation with Delegate Charles Otto. He's a Republican, represents District 38A, which is Somerset and Wicomico counties, and has been a member of the House delegates since 2011, and actually is a member of the Pesticide Advisory Committee and the Nutrient Management Advisory Committee. And welcome. Good to have you with us, Delegate.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
So one of the bills that will be, it is controversial and is working its way through hearings, Tuesday and Wednesday, is a bill to ban arsenic in poultry feed. So just in a broad sense, where do you stand on this issue and why?
Using that title of arsenic creates a fear factor of it being a poison or whatever are traditional things. Actually, it's an arsenic compound in a product called Roxazone that's used as a coccidiostat in a therapeutic drug in chicken feed.
But I mean, when we interviewed Purdue on Vice President over at Purdue, they clearly were not in support of the ban, but they also said that they have not used any arsenic-based products in their chicken feed for several years now, and it's had no detrimental effect on the weight of their chickens or the health of their chickens. And some people would argue that given that it is a known carcinogenic, why do we need it at all if huge companies like Purdue say it's not necessary? Again, they didn't say they were for the ban. They just said they didn't find it necessary.
Well, I don't think it's appropriate for the state to be making that call. It's been an approved product by the Food and Drug Administration for 50 or 60 years, and I think it is therapeutic use is important to have that tool in the toolbox for the poultry companies. I've seen being a former poultry grower or well, I guess I'm still currently. I don't have chickens right now, but I've seen the effects of cocci in the flock of chickens and the health effects it has, and it's not a pleasant thing. And we are constantly limiting what animal health drugs are available with the concerns for antibiotics, or just concerns and things, and that's the type of drug that could also take those the arsenic compounds place. And I think it's risk that's relative. I mean, arsenic is a natural occurring element.
How do you respond to people with the argument that that it's not the organic arsenic that resides in all of us we're talking about, but the inorganic arsenic, some people maintain is a toxic form of arsenic and has been measured in soil and water wherever there's broiler productions. And that I think one thing I read is that the arsenic levels concentrations are up to 13 times EPA limit on the eastern shore of our own state. And whether that's true, how do you respond to that?
Well, again, it's going to vary from environmental factors. And the studies that were done here in Maryland was actually just a peer review by the agroecology lab that reviewed other science and data that was around on the arsenic compound. And currently that's what the Food and Drug Administration is doing too. Pfizer voluntarily took the product off the market currently and is doing a judicial or appropriate scientific review of the product and its health and safety aspects. It's interesting how the proponents of this bill's been in the General Assembly several times over the last few years, and it's always before a food safety issue, and that was the battle cry that we had arsenic in our chicken. Well, when the levels that are less than other food products that are on the market, that didn't fly. So now we have come up with some aspect that it's a water quality issue. Well, I think it's more of a political issue, and they're trying to create a hysteria over something that is not really a problem.
And some people argue again that our export trade in chickens is being hurt because the European Union won't buy our chicken because of the arsenic additives in the animal feed.
Well, now that I could, the companies that are producing the poultry can address that. I mean, that's fine. Why does the state of Maryland have to do it?
Whose responsibility is it, do you think, to do things like that, to check on these things? Is it just the federal government? Is it the farmers? Is it the farmers' organizations?
Well, I think the federal government is more qualified to do that in that regard. I mean, they register the drug products, and they have the expertise and the ability to do that rather than the General Assembly of Maryland.
Now, will you be at you'll be at part of the hearings that are taking place
yes.
in the House, right?
Yes.
This week.
Yeah, actually, the hearing took place last week in the House.
So, and what kind of questions did you ask?
Well, what kind of?
What did you do during those sessions? What kind of questions did you ask?
Again, we'd had this peer review study that the agroecology lab did, making comparisons, and I thought it came up pretty inconclusive of whatever risk that is there. So. What did I ask those testifying? I asked about the quantity. They had testimony that indicated so many thousand pounds of arsenic was introduced into the environment with this product. Well, that's sort of relative if it's the concern that it's going through the excrement of the birds, and then we're using the manure on the cropland. I mean, there's 4 million pounds of soil in a foot of cropland, and the arsenic compound is going to attach to the soil particles, and so it's relative. I mean, it's like one drop in the ocean, you know.
What did you get the sense was on the committee from the other delegates and what this testimony was saying on both sides?
Well, I think there's a strong group in favor of it, and there's others of us that have concern about what are we going to put our poultry producers in a disadvantage, economic disadvantage, and that's the gist I get out of it. It's sort of a tough call, but I still think it's inappropriate for the state of Maryland to regulate this product.
As someone who's raised chickens and who has a lot of friends and constituents in that industry, what do you think would happen if the bill actually passed that banned the use of arsenic in poultry feed in the state of Maryland?
Well, currently it wouldn't have an effect because of the fact of the matter, the product's off the market. Otherwise, it would have a tremendous impact on these integrated poultry companies if the feed mills are located in Delaware and Maryland and Virginia. I mean, and the feed goes across the state lines in these complexes that are growing these birds. So it would complicate things.
How would it complicate things?
Well, it's complicated that you'd end up with a Maryland ration, a blend to feed, and also one for the other states, rather than using the similar feeds in the competitive environment.
And do you put any credence at all in the dangers of the carcinogenics that the advocates who are saying we should ban it say are there, whether it's in our soil or the food or chicken livers?
Well, again, it's naturally occurring, and I'd need to see more of a smoking gun than what's been presented to me to be concerned over it. And the fact of the matter is, if it is the arsenic in the chicken and we're consuming that, that's the problem, then I have difficulty to see where this is going to protect the citizens of Maryland any greater, because we're in a global economy, and actually the chicken that we're probably eating from our supermarkets more than likely came from North Carolina or Arkansas or somewhere.
So it's interesting. I was just chuckling. It is a global market we're in, and we are the seventh largest poultry producing state in the country.
Yeah.
But I philosophically, just for a second, one of the things I mean, when we met last, just talking about roles of government and who should be doing what. I mean, there are a lot of times I know that you would say that the federal government interferes too much in the local affairs of the state. So why, in that kind of spirit of more conservative libertarian thinking, wouldn't it be a state's job to address issues like arsenic for those people who live in the state of Maryland if, in fact, people think it's a danger?
Well, you answered part of that. As I said, I mean, we're talking about interstate commerce here, and that's been a role that the federal government has been fulfilling, and of regulating these kind of compounds that are feed additives or therapeutic drugs, and I think that is a role that the federal government does have to fulfill.
So how do you think this is going to wash out? What is your sense of where you think this is going to end up?
Well, it looks like it could. It's a pretty split on our Environmental Matters Committee in the House. I'd like to think that we could keep it in committee, but I'm afraid that there might be enough votes to get it out to the floor. I would say we'd have a floor fight on our hands on the bill.
What's different this year than last year, when I think in Delegate McIntosh's committee it was killed, didn't hit the floor? What's so different this year?
Well, some wanted to see this peer review study or further study, actually, and we really didn't end up having any real scientific study done. It was just a couple of PhDs reviewing data that was submitted from other studies from around the country. So I think we don't want to put the importance of the poultry industry to Delmarva at an economic disadvantage by putting hurdles and handles that the other parts of the country don't have to jump through.
Delegate Charles Otto, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll join us again next week. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.